he was shown things and spoken things, and he said there were words that are inexpressible. I can't share my soul. But I like the way he referred to himself. Verse 2, he said, I know a man in Christ. This was his identity. This was his sense of self-consciousness. When Paul thought about himself, he didn't see himself apart from Christ. When he uses the term in Christ, he's not just talking about the fact that he prayed the prayer. You did the Baptist Bar Mitzvah, now you're born again. He's saying, I've literally been placed into his life. I'm in him, he's in me, and that reality is my new identity. Not only is it my new identity, it also earmarks and declares over me my potential in Christ. So Paul said, I know a man in Christ. That's what he thought about himself, and everything else in this world through which he saw reality was through the grid of somebody in Christ. Every situation, every circumstance, every opportunity, he saw that as someone who had been placed into the life of Christ and the story that Jesus Christ was lived out through his humanity. That essence 101 for us, we've been talking about that forever. And we'll continue to talk about that forever because it's the most important thing, other than making the decision to receive Christ, it is the most important thing. You have to know. And if you were placed in a situation where you weren't, didn't have access to a Bible, you were imprisoned by persecution, there's only one truth you could have as a Christian. It would be this one. It would be enough to walk victoriously in that circumstance every day for the rest of your life. But in light of the fact that Paul has given this amazing experience and the revelation that he got, he says, keep him from exalting himself, because of the surpassing greatness of the power of revelation, for this reason, to keep him from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, to buckle me, again, to keep me from exalting myself. And then he goes on to say that three different times, and the language here is that three different times he begged God to remove this thorn in the flesh. Now, if I'm right, about it being Judaized, there's three different times he asked God to remove these people out of his life, which is making his life so difficult. I know that none of you have ever had those thoughts about another person. But he begs God three times. And then the Lord responds to him after the third time of begging God. The Lord says to him, this is really, it just struck me again in a really profound way. But this isn't Paul given the theology. He said he begs God three times for him to remove the situation or the people or the circumstance, to change all that that's making life so difficult for him. Then he says, and he, God, spoke this word to him. It wasn't just this was Paul, the Holy Spirit helping him form the theology. He said God spoke directly to him this in response to him begging God to change the situation. The Lord said to him, he said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, I know I'm talking about grammar a lot. I don't mean to burden you with that, but the words matter. The Holy Spirit picked this language on purpose. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. The language there is in the present tense. So here's the idea. My grace is always, be always sufficient. More than enough. He doesn't say, my grace might be sufficient. My grace could be sufficient. You can hope that my grace will be sufficient. He says, my grace is sufficient. One of my favorite books is that book, Victory in Christ, a small book written long time ago, probably 100 years ago, by Charles Trumbull. In one chapter of that book, the whole chapter about this word is, faith isn't hoping that he will, or believing that he can. There's trusting that he is. There's a difference. We can believe in God's grace being sufficient. And then he goes on, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. That's so profoundly amazing. He says, if you want to see my ability, which is the word power, it's my supernatural ability, perfected, you'll find it being perfected where there's need. Find it where it's perfected with her fleas. It's kind of like the principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure, his life in us. We have his treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots, which are fragile, easily broken, easily cracked. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power that be of God and not of ourselves. Of course, the fall was not God's will. But he never loses a battle. It may appear that we lose the battle sometimes, but even then, he's not losing the battle. He never loses the battle. And in the fall of man, in the brilliance of God, he's chosen to use our fallenness to demonstrate how extraordinarily powerful and sufficient and adequate he is. For power is perfected in weakness. Now you talk about stealing the enemy's thunder. We were created to demonstrate the likeness of God out of a life of utter dependence on him. And so the enemy came to destroy God's masterpiece, that which was to reveal his likeness on the earth. And he rendered us weak through the fall. So God's plan to use us to demonstrate his likeness in the enemy's mind was destroyed. But God in his brilliance takes what the enemy tries to do, and I'll turn it around, and all my power will be perfected in the weakness. I'll receive more glory with the surpassing greatness of my power being demonstrated through earth and vessel. He never loses a battle. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. The Lord puts our weakness and our fallenness to his advantage for his glory. Now Paul's response to that, his response to God saying to him, instead of removing this situation or removing these people, if it's the Judaizers we're talking about, he said, here's what I want you to understand. My grace is sufficient for my ability is perfected. And the reason that Paul wanted them to be removed, if it's the Judaizers or whatever the situation is because they expose his weakness. You know much about Paul's personality in Scripture. Being patient was supernatural. He was not always the most understanding person in his flesh. If you can't get along with Barnabas, you can't get along with anyone. Barnabas is called the son of encouragement. You can't get along with the son of encouragement. You can't get along with anybody. So that's part of Paul's weakness. Now in his weakness, God's strength is made perfect. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But I believe that Paul was begging because they were exposing his weakness. How many times have we said things like that? God. You know, I'm losing patience, or I'm getting angry, but it's because that person's behavior. If you would just change them, life would be so much better. This pursuit of Christ's likeness is difficult enough as it is, and they're not making it any easier. I know none of you ever had those thoughts. Or this job, or the person I work for, or whatever. The thing that exposes your weakness. All of us have begged God to remove those things, change those things, so that I'm not constantly being exposed. It won't even see my own heart. But I'm with me. All the junk. But Paul's response to what God said is most gladly. Not just like, oh, okay, nothing to do about it. It is what it is. That's like the famous story that we said. It is what it is. Paul didn't say that. He said, most gladly, therefore, he got it. God spoke a word to him. It was revelation. That my grace is sufficient for you. They're not the problem, Paul. They got problems. But that's not your problem. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And therefore, the problem is, you've not put your weakness to your advantage spiritually by drawing on my sufficient grace to demonstrate my ability. They've exposed your inability, and they've exposed your inadequacy. That thing has exposed your inability and your inadequacy. But I want you to understand what you've been crying out for, Christlikeness. I want to use those things to expose your need for me, so that my power can be perfected in your weakness. That's why Paul used the term earlier, a messenger Satan is given, is the word gift. What the enemy wants to use to destroy your walk with the Lord is the thing that God wants to use to propel you in your walk with the Lord. This kind of came to me again last week in a fresh way, because I think one of the gospel reading that Bracken is a magical gospel reader. There's something about the way he reads the gospel. I feel like I'm sitting at the foot of somebody reading. Sitting in the feet of somebody reading Dr. Seuss as a child. Tell me more. Do it again. And about Jesus saying that they were rebuking Christ because he was hanging out with sinners, he was hanging out with tax gatherers when he called Matthew. So the Pharisees said, doesn't he realize he's hanging out with sinners and tax gatherers? And Jesus said, it's only a physician, only if somebody who's sick. Trying to tell them, you're as sick as they are, but they're obviously not. I can't do anything for you. A physician never gets angry when you admit what's wrong with them. It's when you try to not own what's wrong with you that they can't do much for you. And Jesus is the great physician, and he's never offended to discover that there's something wrong with them. He has a solution for them. It's called his grace, his power. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weaknesses. I think this is unfortunate because the word about here is actually the word in. Paul doesn't say here, I will boast about my weaknesses. He says, I will boast in my weaknesses. Now, he used the word boasting a lot in the verses I read to you earlier. You know, I won't boast in this, I'll boast in my weakness, and in this particular place, he said, I will boast gladly, therefore boast in my weaknesses. What is he boasting in? What has he just been told? My grace is sufficient. For my power is perfected in your weakness. So what is he boasting in? When he says, I'm boasting in my weaknesses, in the midst of my weakness being exposed, I'm boasting in the fact that his grace is sufficient. He's boasting in Jesus. It's like saying, in the midst of this situation, I most gladly therefore will boast. It's exposing weakness in me. It's exposing my spiritual vulnerability. And I will boast in the fact that his grace is sufficient. And as I draw on his grace, his power will be perfected. The word perfected could also be translated mature. I most gladly, therefore, will boast in my weakness. Because God's using this to propel me towards Christ-likeness. He's reminding me through these weaknesses that I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. It's all Him. Christ is all. He's all. And therefore, I'm going to stop cursing. Cussing. I was reminded of somebody who lived in this Baptist mood here, who lived in church, did Lent. That's what they gave up for Lent every year, was cussing. I'm sure God really appreciated that sacrifice. But probably everybody else around that person enjoyed 40 days. Instead of cursing the situation, go away, I hate this. Cursing the person, the fire that you find or something that exposes your weakness. We should simply be boasting in his sufficiency, acknowledging that this is providing an opportunity for me to draw on a power that's supernatural. This is an opportunity for me to live supernaturally. That's what we're going after, right? Our walk with the Lord. We're going after allowing Christ to live his life through us without measure. We're going after manifesting the fullness of Jesus. And Lord, this situation, I've been begging to take it away. Now I realize it's a gift to give me the opportunity to draw on your life so that your power is perfected.
Amen.
It's interesting that God didn't change the situation, but God changed him in the situation. And he loved what he says. I will most gladly never boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Again, a little grammar thing. The word dwell in me is place its tent upon me. It's the word tabernacle, but not tabernacle in me, as if it's just covered me completely. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast in my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. He said, well, you know, I have these things going on in my life. I've got certain people in my life. It's difficult. I'm having a hard time. I keep crashing and burning. I've been begging God. Maybe go away. Doesn't seem to go away. Change that person. Doesn't seem to be changing yet. So I'm saying, oh, God, give me more strength. You know, help me, Lord. I'm trying better. I'm trying harder to do better. I've made new promises over and over again. His grace is sufficient. Christianity is not behavioral modification. It's not a self-help program. God didn't come to help you. He came to save you. Not to save you from sin so you go to heaven one day, but to save you from yourself, moment by moment. It's all grace. And so the problem is, if you've been praying all those ways, Lord, I'm trying hard, I'm trying my best, don't do that. You're headed to hell doing your best. I mean, nobody woke up, you know, like at some point they're conscious enough, go, you know what my goal in life is? I don't want to go to hell. And screw my life up so bad, I'm miserable, everybody else is miserable. That's what I'm going after. I'm going to make sure I spend every day of my life going after them. Nobody's that way. They think they know what they're doing. They're doing the best they can in light of their situation. God doesn't want your best. He wants you to have his best.
Amen.
And he's using that thing or that person or that situation to get you to draw on his best. But it's conditional. He says, most gladly, not, I don't like it, but I'll come. You know, I've heard people tell me that. I tried that for years and it didn't work. I said, you didn't try it for years. You were frustrated and complained every day while you were trusting the Lord. That's not faith. He says, most gladly, yikes. If Paul can be most gladly about anything with his personality, right? He said, most gladly, therefore, I will boast in my weakness that the power of Christ may tabernacle. So that, if you're not most gladly boasting in him in your situation, instead you're complaining and griping while you're, quote, trusting the Lord, that might be the reason that you've not gotten to sow that surpassing grace and power that you've gotten out of yourself. Therefore, in light of all that, Paul says in verse 10, I am well content or well pleased with weaknesses. I think I've shared this with you before. This was transformational for me almost 4 years ago. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I was a mess. There were so many weaknesses that were still exposed. I was so raw with weaknesses. And I would beg God all the time. My fear would take my fears away, and I was afraid of everything. You know, I think I've told you this story before. When I first went to Bible college, I signed up to be a missionary. Because I told the Lord the one thing I will not ever do is stand up in front of people and talk. I wanted to write Christian poetry. I did write a limerick one time. I think I've done this limerick. I wrote the wood. When he was in school, he had to come up with a limerick. And he couldn't figure out one. And they gave you, I think they gave you a B, which was really unfortunate. Really a limerick. So limerick one time. I said, I had a furry rabbit. I named the rabbit Jim. Until my dad backed over it, we changed his name to Slim. So I figured at some point, poetry would come up with it.
That's terrible.
Sorry. When I discovered this, in that season of my life, when I got set free, I came to discover, first, that Jesus Christ alone wants to live a Christian life. He had come to live inside of me to do that very thing. Only Jesus could live a victorious Christian life. You heard my testimony before, but the problem was I had so much weakness, so many weaknesses, so many issues with my life. I thought, he can't live a victorious life through something like this. So if I can get my act together, then I can let Jesus Christ live his victorious life through me. And so I tried really hard to get my act together over the next few months, and then I discovered this. The scripture. And I realized I didn't have to be ashamed of being weak anymore. I can't tell you how freeing that was. Because I hated myself because I was such a mess. I didn't have to hate the fact that I was weak. I was prone towards weakness. Because he says, therefore I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, you know my story. When I first gave my life to Christ, I was suffering from clinical mental illness. And I hated that about me. A lot of it had to do with fear and anxiety and depression, and I hated that about me. And I begged God more than 3 times to take it. And he always wanted to set me free. He did not want me to be governed by my weakness. He wanted my weakness to be the springboard from which his perfection, his perfect power to be manifested.
Amen.
And when I saw these scriptures, I realized that my weaknesses did not disqualify me. There were very things that postured me to draw on his power and his sufficient grace. And I could stop being ashamed. That I was weak. Instead, I can every minute of every day own the truth to my great position. I'm in need. And anything that comes into my life or any person that exposes my weakness, my unchristlikeness, my flesh, say I'm well pleased with those insults, with those difficulties, with those persecutions, with those distresses. Because when I'm weak, I'm actually strong. As long as I'm most gladly there for you. Most as my sufficiency. When you, it's kind of like when I came into the kingdom, I was so broken. And the enemy would use all kinds of stuff. They would just kind of like squeeze chunk and bad stuff into it. You know what I'm saying? Like squeeze the doll and the squeaks. You know, he was always doing that. With everything that's going on in my life, things were caused by fears, war, all this stuff. And when I saw this, I realized actually God was using all the stuff the enemy was throwing at me to squeeze each other. So that Christ like us. Therefore, no more complaints about the job, about the employer, about the employee, about the friend, about the wife, about the stuff, and then he throws it with whatever it might be. All when I post, he said, I'm well pleased with weaknesses and insults. Difficulties covers a lot of territory. We spend a lot of time talking about how hard life is and the reason why it's so hard. Instead of boasting in the fact that all those things, the very thing that's in our heart that we long for more than anything else, see the power of Jesus demonstrated in us and through us. Very things that we complain about are actually opportunities that God's given us to see manifested in and through our lives the thing that we dream for in us, Christ in us. My prayer is this, that today this word will be a revelation to you. That like Paul, won't this be me speaking some stuff from Scripture? But you'll hear his voice say to you, my grace is sufficient for power is perfected in the weaknesses being exposed by the situation of the person. So be content that you live in a world of war. And be content with the fact that you're weak. Because it gives you an opportunity to be strong in Christ. And to discover